This is KQEN Local Talk at 4. Every weekday, News Radio 1240 KQEN brings you local information at 4 o'clock. Now, the Mike Winters Lawn and Garden Show. From Wintergreen Nursery Landscaping and Florist, here's the Commissioner of Dirt, Mike Winters, and the Mike Winters Lawn and Garden Show on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
Hello there. It's time for a show, Mike.
I think so. It's 4 o'clock, is it? Oh, yeah, 4 o'clock even. That's good. We're right on time, man.
Absolutely.
Well, thank you for listening to The Garden Show. And if you have questions, 673-4464 is the number for you to call on. And, you know, it's kind of interesting. I do this to share ideas with the listening gardeners and landscapers and whoever. You know, it's help for your yard or help for whatever landscape project you're doing. And some of it may not be, you know, something that you're inclined to do right now, but it's something that you kind of plant the seeds of knowledge in out there. And one of these days you might need that, and you say, oh yeah, I remember that dude on the radio said this. So that's kind of the purpose of the show. It's just to share my ideas and my experiences that I've had over 100,000 years of business and doing this, and you know, help you out in what you're doing, and so that you can do it correctly and not spend a bunch of money needlessly because you went about it the wrong way or got the wrong material and those kinds of things. So this is, if you have a question, hey, call. It's okay. It doesn't matter what I'm speaking about. You can interrupt my train of thought if I have one.
I do it all the time.
I know he does. But the number 673-4464. And last week, I was talking about different kinds of fruit trees. I talked about apples, pears, cherries, and all that, and talked about different varieties that do well here in Douglas County. And so this week on the menu, I'm going to talk about, say, plums and prunes and peaches, and kind of give you an idea, some ideas on that. And peaches, they really grow well in southern Oregon, but they require a little more, even maybe a lot more care than other fruit trees. And there are more varieties of peaches that you can count. In my research, and just in one catalog I picked up just to kind of browse through it to see the different varieties, I counted over right at 88 varieties of peaches in this one catalog. And it was a California catalog, you know, a growing nursery, and you can buy this and this and this. But they had 88 varieties.
Who would have thought?
I don't know. Well, I never thought. I mean, a peach, man. You just that's that round fuzzy thing you buy at Freddy's. Yeah.
Alberta comes to mind, but that's probably a pear.
Well, that's a peach.
Is it?
Early Alberta, you know, those kinds of things. But most of those varieties will probably grow here, but you know, we stick with the ones that are grown in Oregon, and, you know, I know they will be good. So when someone in bare root tree season, which like is from the end of January to, say, the end of March, you know, when we got a lot of trees in and the trees are half price because they're not in a pot and they're, you know, taking advantage of the cool, wet weather and you can plant them without problems and stuff like that. You know, we just get those that are grown locally, meaning the Willamette Valley. There's not too many peach tree growers around here, but there's one nursery I've been doing business with north of Eugene for, oh gosh, almost all my professional career. And they grow literally thousands and thousands of fruit trees, shade trees, and those kinds of things, and, you know, always had good success with them. But and they don't have 88 varieties of peaches to choose from. They usually have about 5 or 6, which seem to do best for southern Oregon. And with our climate being what it is, and those kinds of things. So anything I get, anytime you come to our nursery to buy a peach tree, it's something that was grown in Oregon, raised in Oregon, and will continue to grow in Oregon. And I know they're going to be good. I know that they're going to work. One of the main issues, though, with peaches is a fungus, and it causes what we call peach leaf curl. So each winter, your peach trees have to be sprayed with a fungicide to prevent the curl from occurring. And if you don't spray the tree, the tree may die, and it certainly won't have any fruit. However, there is one variety that is what they call curl resistant. It doesn't say curl proof, but curl resistant. And that is called the frost peach, like F-R-O-S-T, frost peach. And we usually carry those in our nursery. I don't think we have any right now. We probably sold all that we had. But we'll get a new batch there in January. And then there's another one called Oregon Curl Free Peach. And I don't know much about that one. I'm going to try it out and see how that does. But, this year coming up, I'm always looking for something that's going to work better than what we had the year before. But what happens if you don't spray a tree in the winter or late spring, and after the leaves come out, they'll just start kind of looking droopy and ugly, especially as the days get warmer and the sun is up longer, etc. Mm-hmm. And then they start to curl, and then the undersides of the leaves turn red, and then they begin to fall off. And that's if you don't spray.
That's not good.
No, it's not good. and usually it's you should spray them with lime sulfur in the winter when all the leaves are gone and they're dormant. So you spray them a couple, three times with lime sulfur, and that prevents, I don't know 100%, but that prevents most of the peach leaf curl. Here's a story about me not spraying.
Okay.
Years ago.
I love these stories.
I know. I confess all my sins on the radio here. But many years ago, I planted an orchard for a client out in Garden Valley. And I think we planted 48 fruit trees all together. But there was at least 10 peaches in the bunch. And we had sprayed them at the nursery, and so I knew they were good, and they were good when we planted them. The leaves were healthy, the tree looked healthy and all that. And I always give instructions after it's all said and done. This is what you have to do. This is how many times you do it. This is the materials you use. And I usually write it down. But this particular client failed to spray the following winter and called me up about his sick peach trees the following spring. And I went out to take a look at it, and it was devastating. You know, all those nice peach trees that we planted, and they had grown so well the year before, but he didn't spray them that winter. Uh-huh. And so consequently, they had the red leaves, and they were curled, and uh-huh. They looked like, oh gosh, man, don't touch them, they might disease you. Oh, golly.
You never know these days.
Yeah, you don't. And it was really too late to spray because all the leaves were still on it, and it was 75 or 80 degrees.
And what was done was done.
It was done. It had already been, the disease had already been contracted by the tree. So I thought about it, and I gave them all the peach trees a strong dose of fertilizer. And I thought, well, we'll see what happens. I had no idea.
Had nothing to lose.
Nothing to lose because they were on the way out as it was.
Yeah.
And to my amazement, in about a week, the old leaves all fell off. And I thought, And about within, another week, there was brand new leaves coming on that tree.
Wow.
And, nice. And I thought, wow. And they did really great again. Finally, they didn't have any peaches. It was too late. The flowering season was over because by now it's about June.
But at least they lived.
But they lived. They made it. And I thought, well, these doses of fertilizer will either kill them or cure them. And I put a little extra on, just, sprinkled the granular stuff around the base of the tree. And I checked on it. And within about 2 weeks, as I remember, there was brand new buds pushing, brand new leaves, and some of the tips of the branches were dead. They had suffered, so we just clipped them off and made it look like a brand new tree, and they did really, really well. But
does that always work?
I don't know. I've never done it again.
You haven't done it again?
No.
Okay.
Because I practically beat the client to death. You've got to spray these things. Please, this is the spray you use. I'll bring you the spray.
With just one of his trees, you beat him with it.
Yeah, rip it out of the ground and get him. I hate that. It's it was totally unnecessary. But here, the following spring, after they had recuperated, they did the same thing because he didn't spray. He was a busy guy, and he was doing a lot of other things, and he just never got around to spraying. Or somebody, I can't remember because so long ago, he may have said to me, well, I had so-and-so spray him, but whatever they sprayed him with didn't work, and they didn't do it right. So that summer, they all died. All the peaches died.
No.
The rest of the orchard was great. The rest of the orchards were doing fine. Apples and the plums and the pears and all that. They did good.
The peaches said,
but the peaches,
nah,
they bit the dust. So, it's sad. If you do a peach tree and you want a peach tree, you really have to take care of it. I mean, it's something that is endemic to peaches, I guess. It doesn't seem to affect other fruit trees as much or even very little, but of all the peaches I've researched, the only one I feel is worth the money, the time, and the effort is that frost peach, and even with that one spraying, that could be an option. Just give it a spray anyway, even though it's supposedly curl resistant. Yeah. And you know, of course, the mad scientists in the greenhouse are always working on something new and better. So who knows what they'll have this coming year as the new improved variety of curl-free peaches. But my best advice, really, is to buy peaches from a commercial grower in our area and let them do all the work. It's a whole lot more satisfying and less frustrating, and you know they're good. And
yeah, they know what they're doing.
Yeah. But if you are determined, like I said, you are determined to grow your own peaches, you have to spray with lime sulfur or a copper spray, and that will prevent the leaf curl from happening. And you just, when the leaves are off, you spray the trunk from the ground up to the tips of the branches, and don't miss it, and just in case, do it twice. And when in doubt, do it twice. You're not going to hurt it. They're dormant, and that will keep the bad guys away. Now, pruning peach trees is very important for good production, good produce, and they need more pruning than a normal fruit tree. They need to be cut back fairly severely. Mm. And there are commercial orchards around here, and I've said this in the past, probably once a year for the last 17 years, is that there are commercial orchards, and you can see in January and February that how they're pruned. You go out towards Singleton Park off of by the country club there, and turn at that little store, and you take right down to Singleton Park, and there are orchards galore down there. There's peach orchards, cherries, and pears. And you can see how they prune the different trees. Mm-hmm. And the ones that are most severely pruned are the peaches. All the little twiggy little branches, they're gone, they're toast, and the trees are kept at about 10 feet maximum height, and they're spread out probably 10 or 15 feet too. And when you do that, then they spray after they've pruned, and they just get tons and tons of peaches.
might get those
time.
Too.
And they look good. I've been out there, different times of the year just to watch their operation, just to make sure that information that I give to other people, I'm on the right track, and their peach crop is bountiful, and I think that's all part of cruises out there because it's kind of in the same vicinity, and they sell good peaches, and Brosai does the same in the Winston area. So if peaches are your thing, you've got some work cut out for you, and you've got to be diligent about that, or you're wasting, like I say, time, money, and effort.
But if it works, it's worthwhile.
That's right. We got a break.
We do. More fruit trees on the way with Mike Winter's Lawn and Garden Show here on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
Hello there, friend. We're back with Mike Winter's Lawn and Garden Show on News Radio 1240 KQEN. We're talking fruit trees.
Fruit trees, and I just got through.
And well, we have a phone call coming in.
We got a phone call. Okay,
let me
I won't get through anything.
We'll do this, that. And I think I got her. Hi, you're on the air with Mike Winter's.
Okay, how you doing this afternoon?
I'm doing good. What's up?
See, I got a question. I just put in some strawberries last spring, and they're doing really good now. What should I do for them for the winter?
Okay, are they just planted in the ground out in the garden, or they're in raised beds, or what?
Well, they're in raised beds.
That's good. That's a good idea, because it's a lot less work for you.
Well, yeah, I can't reach down that far anymore anyway.
Well, you know, if you get on your knees and just kind of crawl along the ground, you can. That's okay.
Well, I can't. Getting back up there is the challenge.
Well, you know, I can't help you with any advice there.
Right.
Gosh. Well, how are they looking right now? Are they fully leafed out still and looking good?
Oh yeah. Well, they're everbearing, and we're still picking strawberries off.
Well, good. Don't bother them then. As long as you're getting some strawberries off them, you're okay. But when it gets cold, you know, and wet and rainy, and we have a few cold snaps, and it stops bearing. Now, are they way spread out? Are they small plants or fairly large or what?
Well, they're a foot apart. They're nice looking plants.
Are they touching? Are they touching? If they're
some of them are touching, and some of them aren't.
Okay. Well, you know, the ones that are you can prune them and snip them back if you want, and like any fruit, they bear really well when you prune. But you know, you could let them go another year without any pruning or snipping or anything like that. But a good fruit tree or garden fertilizer will certainly help, and it's one of those that's low in nitrogen and high in phosphorus and potassium. And it'll say on the package, depending on where you go, this is for all your garden and fruits and vegetables. And that's what they really need, because that's helps develop the fruit, and it helps develop the root systems and not so much growth of leaves. And
And
if you give it just a little bit to kind of get it over the winter, and if the directions say 1 tablespoon per plant, well, give it a half a tablespoon. You know, go halfway.
Oh, okay.
Don't do it yet. Just wait maybe another month. Well, you know, when it cools off sufficiently and there's a little bit of rain and stuff, go ahead and do it then. They'll go into dormancy, but they'll store up the fertilizer, the nutrition. They'll store that up, and if it's a granular, it won't even be down into the root system for a month. And
I got these in raised beds, and they're like 12 inches square, and they're 3 feet off the ground.
That's good. That's good. You know, I mean, that's good drainage, and that's what they like.
Oh yeah. No problem with the drainage.
Good.
That's screen on the bottom, and the water runs right straight through if it's too much.
Yeah. Well, it's most people, not most, but a lot of people make the mistake of not having that good of a drainage, and they have problems with them. So you're good to go. But then again, about early March, maybe last part of February, when we start looking like spring, and then the snowmageddons are done and all that, go ahead and fertilize them again, and you'll see a real improvement in their growth and their berry bearing capacity too. And they're practically a weed. You know, they're really really a good little plant, and it's hard to kill them. You have to kill them on purpose.
What's been strange is I bought three different varieties of everbearing.
Uh-huh.
One variety has not put out a berry.
Huh.
These were young, real young plants last spring.
Uh-huh.
There are others, you know, I get a nice bowl full about every 3 days.
Yeah. Were they all the same age, you think?
Yep. I got them all at the same time. They all, you know, come in little square, those plastic planters.
Sure. Did you fertilize them at all this last year?
Yeah, a little bit during the summer.
Okay, well, like I say, do it this fall and again next spring, and they'll you'll see a difference. And sometimes okay. different varieties take a little bit longer to establish. And again, as long as they've got good drainage, I don't think you're going to overwater them, because overwater them will shut them down. It'll rot their roots if you have too much moisture in
there. It drains right out the bottom of them, so
good.
There's too much.
Good.
Do you guys still have a need for a bunch of empty, like gallon containers and stuff?
Oh, we got about 28 million of them right now.
Okay, because I know you used to take it when people would bring them in to you. But
well, the gallons I got, like I say, I got thousands and thousands of them. I take back the larger pots because they're more useful, and I don't have thousands and thousands of them.
Okay. What do you do? You sell it out, are you?
Well, it's been for sale, yeah.
I'd
like to retire and do something else. Doing this 46 years now, so.
Well, you're just getting started then.
Yeah, I'm just getting halfway decent. I can even talk about stuff.
Well, I just went by here the other day to see the sign on the place. I was kind of curious. So.
Yeah, well, stop in and buy it, and then you have all the strawberries you want.
Oh, yeah, sure. I stop in and I buy that, and my wife, I'd be dead the next day. So that's all that would be.
Well, that's why we do cash deals only.
Oh, okay. Yeah, right. Yeah, I can understand. Okay, hey, thanks a lot.
You're welcome. Thank you for the call.
You bet. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you. Strawberries.
Yeah, strawberries. Strawberries, you know, strawberries are an interesting little thing. My dad used to plant strawberries along with everything else. He'd have some shrubs, and then he put some strawberries at the base. They always did good. Yeah. You know, of course, I was like 6-7 years old. And if the berries come on, I eat them. You know?
Oh, yeah.
It was good.
That's what it's there for.
Yeah. But they always did, you know, he planted them amongst his roses. He planted them amongst, you know, different kinds of shrubs and things right in the same bed. They never seemed to have a problem.
They liked it wherever.
They do. They're very, very tough. And really, as I was saying, anything else, you overwater them, you're going to kill them. I mean, but good drainage is the key. If you got some good loose soil, you water them, and the water runs through so that they're wet but not saturated. Mm-hmm. They do great. They do great, and they love the sun. So you got to have them in a sunny location.
Yeah. When you said they're kind of like a weed, I would see them out in cow pastures.
Yes. Yes.
Wherever.
Yeah. And you know, they'll put out runners, and the runners go out, and then they'll root right back in there, and there's a new plant.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just like a weed.
Hey, good afternoon. You're on the air with Mike Winters.
Hey, Mike. You're such a blessing. I loved hearing about your papa planting this. My mom and dad used to do the strawberries amongst everything, too.
Oh, yeah.
Took me back 60 years, man.
It took me back more than that.
Could you turn your radio down just a hair there?
Yeah.
I am so sorry. Please forgive me.
Oh, that's fine. That's no problem.
My eardrums are gone, but that's okay,
yeah,
John.
You gave me 500 decibels here.
I'm so sorry.
We're just joking with you, okay?
Yeah, you're
it's
fine.
Okay. You're fine. Did you know there are livestock protection laws in this county for picking on dumb animals?
No, I didn't know that, John.
Well, you're picking on a dumb animal. My broken hip slows me down really bad, and I just I came in and I heard that nice man talking to you. Mike, I don't know if the county won't collapse if you sell your nursery, man.
Well, I don't think that'll happen. The county will still keep on going.
I was telling you what I think of your business and you.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it.
I know. I'll let you go, and I wish you the very best on it.
Okay.
Thank you so much.
All right. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
There we go.
Do we have any other calls here? Or should I start into a new subject here?
Go ahead. Looks like nothing's coming in yet.
Okay. Before I talk strawberries and a few other things, I was talking about the peaches. And one thing I wanted to emphasize on the peaches, too, and I said it before, they need more pruning than other fruit trees. They like to be – you need to prune all the new wood off to the second-year wood, and that's where you're going to get your biggest harvest. That's where you're going to get your biggest produce. And in essence, you're getting the tree to a certain size, and then when it's at that size, like, you know, 10 feet tall or 8 feet tall and 10 feet wide, that's where you want to keep it.
Yeah.
And when you keep it there, it's easy to work on. It's easy to prune each year. And all you have to do is be diligent that you do it each year. It doesn't need... Like, you know, some trees you leave a little bit of new growth, but, you know, the bearing spurs, that means the more mature branches are the ones that bear the fruit, and they're the strongest to bear the fruit as well. And they're the healthiest, obviously. But the newer branches, they just grow leaves. And then a couple of years later, if you don't prune them, a couple of years later, they're longer, newer branches, and they just grow more leaves, and you're not getting any fruit from those. And all fruit trees need to be pruned, but those peaches it's really critical for.
They're kind of finicky, aren't they?
Yeah, they are. And that's why I say my best advice is go buy them from Cruz or Freddy's or Brosai. You know, that's what we do.
Yeah.
I tried to grow a peach tree one year for my own pleasure, and mm-hmm. even I couldn't really do a good job with that. So I thought, what the heck? Why bother?
Not worth the trouble.
I've got apples, and I got Asian pears, and I've got cherries. And they're doing fine. And I prune them the way they're supposed to be pruned and fertilize and do all that. And they're doing really fine. That's okay. That is what the deer don't eat. And
they like that.
Yeah, I know. I got to put some more cages around those puppies. I thought I had it.
A little spotlight here and there.
Yeah.
We got to take a break on that one.
All righty.
We'll be right back with more of Mike Winter's Lawn and Garden Show here on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 1240, KQEN.
All right, we're back.
We're back.
Reminiscing about Johnny Carson.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, good old Johnny.
Yeah. Anyway, News Radio 1240, KQEN. What's up, Mike?
Well, I'm talking about fruit trees, but I just kind of finished up with the peaches. And then we get calls for nectarines, and to me, a nectarine is just like a fancy small peach tree.
Oh, I was going to say plum.
No. Nectarine is like a peach.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and they're not a very big fruit, and I don't see too many nectarines being grown around commercially. I might have missed them, but I've not seen them. And you know, it's the same kind of, they get leaf curl as well, and we don't sell many of them at the nursery simply because there's not much call for them. Occasionally somebody wants a nectarine. And again, all I can say is just buy them at Freddy's or something because you don't know how much work you have to do to get just a few nectarines out of there. But now, for an easy and productive fruit tree, you can try a plum or a prune tree. They're like the opposite end from the peaches and the nectarines. You know, you plant a little bare root plum tree, and the next thing you know, you got a basket full of plums, and it's growing like crazy. I mean, those things are like tree weeds. That's what I look at them.
They do come on strong.
Oh, they do. They do. But if you don't know much about trees and you wanted a fruit tree in your yard and you're trying to decide if you like a plum, hey, plant one. It's you won't have much of a problem with plums other than they grow so good. And so you're going to have to keep them pruned to be
productive.
And they
attract yellow jackets.
Well, only when they're old and you know, just kind of, you didn't pick the plums off and they're over their prime. That's when the yellow jackets appear. I had one at my Roseburg house right by the front steps.
Oh, yes.
And I was renting, you know, at the time, and it was an old house, an old tree, and pretty good size. And the first fall, when all the plums fell down on the sidewalk, there was about a billion yellow jackets.
Oh, yeah.
And you had to walk through the yellow jackets to get onto the front porch. So,
did you ever get stung?
No. I killed a lot of yellow jackets, but I never got stung. But we found out if we just kind of kept it swept off or hosed off the sidewalk, out into the quote yard, they would congregate out there
and pretty much
leave us alone. But eventually I cut that tree down.
Oh, did you?
Yeah. When my wife said the bees are attacking us. So they're going through the back door instead of the front door. So I was okay.
It's time to go,
buddy. You're out of here. Why anybody would plant a tree that close to a sidewalk is, you know, again, maybe it was just a wild thing that just blew in there, and there are wild plums all over doing that.
Yeah, somebody could have put.
Yeah. Yeah,
seed,
you know, spit a seed out of there, and there, bingo. You, next thing you
1892.
You got a 20-foot tree. No, it doesn't take that long for a plum. They're good. But one plum tree can supply a very large family or small neighborhood with fruit.
Betcha.
I'll tell you what, they are so prolific, and they do really, really well. And then there's the other side of it. They're not fruited. They're flowering plums, and then you got the flowering ones and the fruiting ones. So, you know, they both grow fast and are extremely hardy. You don't hardly do anything with them.
Kind of like an oak tree. You know,
yeah, exactly. it just grows, baby. But the flowering variety, and I'm getting off base here a little bit, the flowering variety blooms early and is usually bright pink with lots of flowers and purple leaves and throughout the whole growing season. So it's an attractive yard tree, but and it will have little tiny plums on it, but usually the birds or the bees or whatever, that's their food. And they can grow anywhere, and after the first year in the ground, they don't need any help from human beings. I mean, they just grow. They could probably.
Yeah, we got this. We don't need you.
No, yeah, we can grow out of this gravel parking lot. It isn't going to hurt us. We're tough. But there's also a native variety that grows all over Douglas County, and I'm sure people have seen it in the early spring because there are white flowers everywhere. You drive into Garden Valley over the hill there, and you go down in there, and you'll see them on the side of a hill, and you see all these trees. There might be 50, 60 of them in a bunch in a very small area, and they're full of white flowers. Those are the wild plums.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, those
I've seen them. I didn't know what they were.
And you don't want one of those in your yard, because that's what will happen in your yard. You plant one, and next thing you know, you got 50 of them puppies.
Wow.
They do, like I say, that even though they're flowering, they still have a little plum on them. And again, it's bird food. Bird food, or if they fall down, maybe squirrel food. I'm not sure. But you can spot them. I mean, they're easy to look at.
Not for human consumption.
Well, they're kind of not tasty.
Yeah.
You know, but when you see them blooming, you'll know that spring is not far behind, because they're blooming. It still might be rainy and kind of coolish and everything else. And they're the first things that bloom in Douglas County.
Well, keep that in mind.
Yeah.
Okay.
So next year.
See what you learn on your show?
Yeah. I just learned that. You know.
Yeah.
But like I said, you don't want to put them in your yard, and they'll just take over, because they'll send up hundreds of suckers from the root system.
Yeah.
And that's how they propagate. And that's why, like I say, on any hillside or even in a swamp, water doesn't hurt them. Nothing hurts them. And they're just growing. And in the wild, if you got 10 acres and they're growing out there in one end of the 10 acres, yeah, leave them. That's fine. Just don't bring them home.
Yeah,
you're good
to go.
Just
stay where you're at.
yeah, stay where you're at. The flowering ones are more domesticated that we actually put in our yards. And those are the kind we sell. And the two best ones are called, one's called Blariana and one's called Thundercloud. And they can produce small plums as well. Even though they're a flowering tree, they still can produce small plums. And again, they're bird food for the most part. So don't get mixed up when you're trying to buy a fruiting plum and thinking, you know, well, that one looks good, I'll buy that tree.
Don't feed the birds.
So the fruiting varieties now that we have locally that we usually handle, and there's a whole bunch more. I forget how many. Gosh, there must have been 36 varieties or something like that that I looked up just to see, you know, how many we got. And they range from Southern California to Alaska and the desert
Alaska?
Region. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. No problem. But the fruiting varieties that are here locally, one is called Brooks. Another one is called Green Gage. And then there's the Italian plum. Then there's the Moyer plum or Moyer prune, the Santa Rosa, the Satsuma, and the Shiro. And I just gave you, those are the ones we usually carry because they seem to be the most productive and the easiest to grow and hardest to kill and all that kind of stuff.
They're still growing out east there of Sutherland.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
We used to pick them, you know, when in season when they had pickers.
Sure. Sure.
Now they're just wild and they're still.
Oh, yeah. Exactly. And that's pretty wet country out there east of Sutherland because it's all flat. And it has a pretty high water table in there.
Uh-huh.
So apparently over water doesn't kill them.
Well, you said swamp.
Yeah, I know.
So, yeah.
But all these varieties that I just mentioned, they all produce abundant fruit. So use caution in how many you want to plant in your yard. You know, maybe if you have a really nice size yard, maybe two. One on either end of the yard, so you give them a lot of room, and you'll have more plums than you and your neighborhood can eat, for crying out loud. That's how productive they are, and they're good.
Yeah, they are.
Yeah, they taste good. And actually, the Moyer plum that they're talking about is also the Moyer prune, and that was actually developed by a man by the name of Moyer and back in the early 1950s, at a nursery that's right down the road from my nursery.
Yeah, really?
Yeah, he and another plant nut used to experiment, and he would come up with all these different genetic varieties, and so now it's a mainstay in the nursery industry, and it's called the Moyer prune.
Isn't that something?
Yeah.
Right, here in Douglas County.
Yeah, and it has big prunes, and they're good. They're juicy and all that. It, to me, they're a plum, but... I don't know.
Yeah, a plum is a plum is a thumb.
A plum is a plum, yeah. But one of the best of the plums is a Santa Rosa plum, and it's large. It's a kind of oval, purplish-red skin, and it has a very nice tart flavor.
Mm-hmm.
It's sweet, but it's kind of tart, got a little bite to it. And the cool thing is it's self-fertile. It doesn't need a pollinizer. In fact, you can use it as a pollinizer for any other plum trees that you want to plant on your
Interesting.
Property. Yeah, and it's just a good all-around plum tree. It does well. It doesn't, again, no problems. It's not like those peaches that I was complaining about early. And, you know, it's a firm... fruit. It's not some of
the
stuff you'll go to pick it and it kind of almost falls apart in your hand.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's that's not like,
or it's just the opposite. It's hard.
Yeah, very hard. That means it's not right.
Bite into that one, baby.
Yeah, but the good thing about it is it's self-fertile. So if you only wanted one plum tree, you just go ahead and buy like a Santa Rosa, and you're going to have all the plums you need on there. Now, Green Gage is another self-fertile plant, plum tree. And Green Gage, it's kind of a smaller to medium-sized plum in comparison to the Santa Rosa. But it's really, really rich and very, very sweet with its flavor. And it's one of those old-timey favorites that's, good for eating. It's good for cooking, to make jam or canning, any of those things. And it's... Like I say, it's an old-time tree, been around a long, long time. And, back when more people made jams or canned and things like that, that was the number one. Yeah, that was their number one they went to. And it's large. It's the Satsuma is the next one. It's a larger plum. and it's round with a dark, solid red skin. And it's very firm and very juicy, but it needs a pollinator, so a pollinizer. So you take a Santa Rosa plum. If you're gonna have one of those, then you wanna get a pollinator, a pollinizing tree in your mix, and then you know that the other trees are gonna be
producing.
And some, like I say, are self-fertile. Why, I don't know. But and then others, unless there is a pollinator around, they produce very, very little.
That's weird.
Yeah. Oh, here's what I discovered: 36 varieties when I was doing my research to choose from.
Can we hold that thought?
Yeah, we will.
36 varieties.
Yeah. Yeah.
Coming up.
A plum tree. And there's more. You know, I just got to the first 36.
Even in China.
Yeah, even in China.
On News Radio 1240 KQEN.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
All right, 36 varieties and counting of plums.
Yeah, and I don't have all 36, so don't come in and ask me to see the 36 varieties. Okay, and but again, when we're talking about these plums and stuff, you want to see anything, you people that have computers and that kind of thing,
Google
it, whatever you do to it, and you'll see all that. And they usually have photos of them, so you can see what the tree looks like. It'll tell you about the tree, it'll tell you about how it produces, and maybe be some in-depth information on how to water, how to fertilize, how to prune, how to spray, those kinds of things. That's all part of the deal. But, you know, again, the ones that I have talked about earlier, those are the ones I sell in my nursery because I know they do well here in Oregon. And I buy bare root trees from a guy that's all he does is grow trees, bare root trees. That's his whole business. And
so he definitely knows what he's doing.
Yeah, and he's been in business longer than I have. I met him when I was in my 20s and he was in his 30s. Now he's in his way up there.
Yeah, I was going to see how long you're going to go.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, gosh. But and if you have a small yard or even no yard, there are dwarf varieties that will give you all the plums you could eat. So or you can keep any fruit tree, like I've said, small biannual pruning. Keep it in shape. You don't have to have a big tree to have a lot of fruit. And the fruit that you have on a small tree, on a big tree that you prune small, will be bigger, lusher, and better, and tastier and juicier. Okay, and if you don't believe me, just do it.
Try it.
I do not lie about my trees,
especially your fruit trees.
No, my fruit trees too. Oh gosh, but. Small trees, dwarf trees. If you can find a dwarf plum or a dwarf apple or dwarf peach, they make them all the time. I usually have a few around, but not very many because not many people like them. They want something that's a little bit larger. But small trees are a lot easier to care for as well.
Yeah.
Because if you put it in a pot, you know, say you got a deck or a patio and that's it. You may be in a condo and that's all the yard you got. Well, hey, you want a fruit tree? Bingo. You get
Perfect.
A good sized pot, put it in there and that's all she wrote. That's what it's all about.
And do they produce quite a bit of fruit?
Oh yeah,
too,
they will. It's amazing. You think, how did that little I got an apple tree that I was going to bonsai years ago, and I put it in a pretty good sized pot, and I just kind of kept it out back, and I pruned the snot out of it. I pruned it down to about a foot tall. It was about 3 feet tall. I pruned it down about a foot tall. and I've neglected it for about 3 years now. Oh. And it's grown back. It's grown back beautifully, and it's an apple. I don't know what variety of apple it is, but it probably had 50 apples on it. It's only 4 feet tall, maybe. And it must have 50 apples on it this year. It's still got apples on it.
still doing it.
Yeah, the apples, because there's too many stems. I didn't reprune it, and I thought this winter when it goes dormant, I got to really fix it. I'm, you know, it's poor thing. He's waiting to be pruned, and I haven't done my job, you know. But like I say, the more you prune, the more fruit you get, and you can keep them in a pot. You can keep them in a small corner of your yard, as long as it's got some room, as long as it's got some sunlight, and they'll do well for you.
Can you really prune too much?
Well, yeah, if you prune like I did to that apple I was just telling you about, I pruned it way down on purpose just to get the trunk to have a larger diameter before I began to treat it as a bonsai. But you could, because if you prune all the branches off, you're not going to get anything but brand new branches, and you're not going to have any fruit.
That's what happened with my dad.
Your dad was quite a gardener.
Oh, he was excellent.
all the little stories you've told me about him all over the years, you know? Oh, gosh. All right, I'm going to go on to figs.
Okay.
I don't know if they're fruit, but they're under the fruit column, so I thought, you know, figs, what the heck? They're not one of my favorite trees, but they grow well in Douglas County. But I do like Fig Newton cookies.
Me too. They're fattening.
Now, check this out. There are over 1,000 varieties of figs.
1,000?
Yes, that's what the literature said. It didn't list them, thankfully.
Yeah.
But over 1,000 varieties. I thought, 1,000? How could there be 1,000 varieties of figs? I mean,
taste the same.
Each one is different?
You're telling me there's a... I don't know.
Yeah, so I'm going to do some more research on that, but I'm not going to list them now, so don't worry about it. But locally, we have like the brown turkey fig, which it can be a large tree if you let it go. And it's sweet and best eaten fresh. It's good. I sell a few of those. We don't sell a lot of them, but we sell, you know, 5 or 6, maybe 10 in a year. And another local variety is the white Kadota fig, which is very, very sweet. And it's good when it's fresh, when it's canned or dried. Ooh. You know, so it's nice. Very versatile in that respect. And it does well here because it likes hot weather to ripen. So when we had all that good hot weather in August and July and even in September, the figs were doing well, man.
It was having a heyday.
I was melting, but the figs were working. Oh, jeez.
That could be a movie.
Yeah, so we don't have enough time, but I was going to start on some grapes, and I'll save that. I'll save that for next week. And I'm talking about eating grapes, not wine grapes. Next week, and we'll go from there. And my point is, you can feed yourself if you got any ground or shared ground or community ground that you can plant trees on, plant vegetables on. Yeah, you can feed yourself regardless of whatever diseases are running rampant across the United States. Thank you.
And around the world.
And around the world, yeah.
All right, where are you located there, Mike?
We're on Highway 99 south of Winston, about a half a mile. You go past the first nursery. That's my competitor. Nice guy and all that, but we're competitors. And
yes.
Just look for our green roofs. All of our roofs are green, like winter green.
The Afternoon Report is next.